This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What'd you think of the Cubs' batting order against the Marlins, moving Ian Happ back to lead off and making some other tweaks? Is there a key guy at the bottom of the order, and how much confidence has Matt Shaw restored?
You know, I think there's a lot of key guys doing well at the bottom of the order. I think that, you've seen Nico Hoerner getting better and better. And that's a good thing. You know, there are different guys that can get hot. They don't really have automatic outs in their lineup. They can damage you. I'm not saying they have the same proficiency as the top of the lineup guys, but I really liked responding to Kyle Tucker and moving him down a little. It seemed to help him. He seemed to respond to it. He did well yesterday.
Immediately.
That's what I'm saying.
Home run first at bat.
Exactly. So I think that, he probably was trending that way. But I think it's also just a little subtle thing. Hey, no big deal. We're just moving. We got Happer back, and we're just moving some guys. We just want to go righty, lefty, right? I mean, whatever it was, that's great. Just respond to what is happening, and then the players respond to that. So I didn't think that I wasn't surprised. I thought that he said that when Happ came back, he was going to put him back at the leadoff spot. I think they like him there. We hadn't talked about the righty-lefty thing and how his ability as a switch hitter kind of allows him to play versus anyone. And, I don't know how you could come in this morning and complain about anything going on with the Cubs offense after watching the way that they – you called it death by a thousand hits. That's what it was. I mean, that they got some big hits, but the key to that comeback was found with a little deet. It's like everyone got a turn putting it in the back of Caesar.
As far as the bottom of the lineup goes, addressing that part of the question first. I mean, Nico Hoerner kind of has really settled in that seventh spot. Doing a nice job. He's hitting just under 300, and I think you're probably going to see him sit probably right there. I do find it interesting, like when Carson Kelly plays, he seems to bat higher than Miguel Amaya most nights. Last night Kelly was batting fifth, I believe, and I don't think we'll see Amaya bat as high as fifth, but the catching position is over delivering. Ian Happ, Mully, you make an excellent point about his ability to switch hit. He also is a guy who works counts. He takes pitches, gets himself on base, lets the rest of the teammates kind of take a look at what this pitcher's got to get the game going. That's also important. You know, Dansby Swanson, right, has been really decent of late after he was moved farther down, you know, in the bottom half, let's say, of the offense. But my one issue is going to continue to be, I want to know when Michael Bush is going to take a swing against a left-handed pitcher.
It's a fair question. I think it's one to table. When you talk about the bottom of the order, Nico Hoerner is a good point because he has been pretty consistent. I find it incredible. Maybe that's overstating it, but he's not homered yet. But he's still hitting for a pretty good average. Dansby Swanson, to me, has been the key to the bottom of the order production because he has gotten hot and he's hitting for power. Carson Kelly, as you point out, batted fourth last night and has been doing that on occasion. And Miguel Amaya has been lower when he catches. And that catching position has been so good in terms of production. There's really nothing to complain about with the Cubs offense. When Matt Shaw is at the bottom of the order and he's got two hits two nights in a row, that's outstanding. We can have a fun debate over where the best place to bat Pete Crow Armstrong is. Batted fifth last night. Don't know if that's going to be his forever spot. I still think that at one point in time, everybody's going to realize the best spot for him is leading off because he's going to give you that kind of pop and you want him at the plate as much as possible. But there's nothing to complain about here. There's everything to enjoy and appreciate. The Cubs are historically good offensively right now. According to our guy Chris Kempka, this was the 10th game with 10 or more runs, and that's the highest productivity in the first 49 games since 1898.
Wow.
They have four guys with 10 or more home runs. Seiya Suzuki is behaving at the plate like he heard every offseason trade rumor, and he's proving that he belongs. Good for him. Long may it last. They now have five games where the margin of victory is at least 10 runs. That's dominance.
We'll have to ask Bruce what that was like.
It's a good question.
What did you make of Jameson Taillon's outing? Did he protect the bullpen, or was it the Cubs' offense took care of that? What was your favorite part of that eight-run six? Five straight singles, Matt Shaw's double, or Seiya's two-run shot?
See you later. I think that my favorite part of that inning was seeing Matt Shaw come through because there aren't many questions about the Cub offense, as we talked about, but Matt Shaw is one of them. And to see him, we're reading way too much into body language and way too much into everything when you see he just looks more relaxed and confident and composed. And so when he comes through like that, I think that was the most fun. But as for Jameson Taillon, I'm glad that he succeeded because it was no fun in watching him struggle and give up those home runs. And here's a guy that is such a good leader in the clubhouse. He's such a good professional to the media. You like to see guys like that have success. I have found it somewhat amusing that he is sharing as many details about his new changeup and the grip. He's posed for the Tribune in the photo, and he's talking about it openly after the game and what works and what doesn't work. I'm like, okay, that's great to be that transparent. We love it, but I wonder if everybody's picking up on it. Oh, is that grip, and can they see things that are going to backfire eventually for him being so open? But it's working for him. He's going to it. It got four swing and misses yesterday. So long may it last, because Jameson Taillon, they are going to need for him to emerge as the top of the rotation starter that he can be.
He's not a top of a rotation guy. Let's just get that out of the way. He kept them in the game last night. Okay, that, if you want to know what a quality start, okay, that would suffice a quality start. But he still gave up the home run, which I just think, and he had more walks than he had strikeouts. Those are not good things. And he wasn't like he could get comfortable. Like, the Cubs' offensive outburst happened in the sixth, and Taillon only went one more inning after that. So it wasn't like he was working with that. So I think it's more that the offense protected the bullpen because they basically didn't have to use the bullpen, depending on what your view of Chris Flexen is. Now, let's talk about Seiya's production. We talked about that in the beginning of the show to kind of get things going this morning. And last night, I was watching the post game through the interpreter. Mm-hmm. Thought it was interesting, and we've talked about this before, the idea of playing in the field versus just DHing.
Yes.
Now, this year, Seiya has been primarily a DH, done an above-average job, but when he's gotten hot, he's been making the hot list of the podcast. We do like a hot knot in the podcast. He's been making the hot list every week lately, but he's been filling in for Ian Happ. Last night, he moved back over to right field, and I just wonder if he has to settle back into being just the DH, if we will see the offensive production go down a bit, and if that's something that Craig Counsell is going to have to try to manage, because I don't think we can, any of us would say that Tucker has been playing a great right field of late.
The Gold Glover.
Last time around.
You're going to bench a Gold Glove right fielder?
I don't think DHing him benches him, and look at what Tucker did as the DH last night.
Tough crowd.
I don't think a DH is going to get $500 million in the offseason.
Well, that's a whole other story.
Excellent point.
Just saying. I think that might not play. I think there's a lot to deal with here. I think that J-Mo gave you exactly what you needed yesterday, and I think that we've been kind of hard on him because of these solo homers, but it is annoying. And the fact that he did not give up any solo homers. So what are you saying, Dustin? You think he's a three, basically? Is that what you're saying?
I think he's a three. He's kind of an inning eater. In Craig Tober, you need swing and miss stuff. Shota has swing and miss stuff. This guy does not have swing and miss stuff.
He's starting game three.
Yeah, I think he's maybe a little better than you're giving him.
Well, unfortunately, he's starting game two.
Yeah, he's really a dead solid guy. I think he's done well, and I don't think they're going out and getting someone who's going to start game two. Is that it?
Matthew Boyd will start game two.
Oh boy,
Matthew Boyd might start game one.
Who's starting game one?
Shota.
He might be done pitching by then.
Today, we don't have Shota right now. The Cubs don't have Shota right now. Hold on.
It's May 21st.
Are you looking at the innings at all? Because you're projecting into August that he's going to be the
same guy. We digress.
All right. I like J-Mo's performance. I thought he did very well, and I think we should give him credit for it because he did protect the bullpen. He was the guy. He got you through six innings before you decided to start hitting the ball, right? He got you through five before you started. Okay, we're going to get some runs now. And then once that happened, then all bets were off. It was, you were in a laugher. So congratulations.
Okay, next question.
Voice of Ozzie Guillen. We hope to talk to him at 8 o'clock this morning. What did you make of the White Sox signing veteran pitcher Adrian Hauser during the day and then scheduling him to start that very same evening? What are the Sox doing by adding a 32-year-old to the rotation who hasn't pitched in the majors yet this year, have toiled around in AAA before the Rangers eventually released him?
I didn't know that he had just had a child. His wife was pregnant, huh? Congratulations to the family. I wish I knew more about the guy. I'd send him something.
What in the world are you talking about?
Have children. Now you're talking about what Jay told us.
Now you're sending gifts to White Sox pitchers?
I'd like to send him a little something special. Just a little.
On behalf of the show?
On behalf of the show.
Flag and Anthem Footies.
A little doll of some kind.
Flag and Anthem Footies. Yeah. Onesies.
Yeah, there you go. No, I'm all over.
There we go.
Do they make large shirts?
Hey, you know, that guy, if he doesn't pitch another game this year, he does nothing else for the White Sox. He got him a win.
Yes.
And those are hard to come by on the South Side, brother. So it is, you know, it's the battle to get your 42 wins, and he gave you one. Congratulations, sir, and thank you.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations and thank you. I mean, it looks like a good pickup. I thought Doogie Howser immediately. You know, that was my joke about the whole thing. It worked. So enjoy it. It worked. So enjoy it. I mean, David, this is not about the World Series of attendance. I'm going to preface that. But, like, on top of the fact that it was, like, 45 degrees and it's raining sideways and there was more rain in the forecast, like, was there anybody there?
Well, they actually, not really, because when I left, they had just opened the gates and they had this crowd that were gathered in the center field one area, one specific area. There were probably 25 people. They went in, and I think I commented. I don't think this was on the air, but I think it was off the air. And I said, oh, it looks like Adrian Hauser's family has arrived, because it looked like they were the only people in the park, and there was nobody else there.
I don't blame people for not coming out. I mean, it was a miserable night.
It was a miserable night.
Outside doing anything.
It was ridiculously chilly. It was wet and soggy. It was a great night. It was Seattle weather.
Are you saying they dragged a baby out there?
No, they did not. No, they did not. I would hope not, because you were not there to greet the baby and to
give a little something.
Uncle Mully.
Hey, what's that? What's that in your ear? Oh, it's a gold dollar.
Are you going to be the godfather?
Take that, invest that for yourself.
The Mulligans do know how to buy a baby blanket, though. My daughter, my second daughter was born while working here, Finley, and the Mulligans sent her a blanket, and it is absolutely her favorite blanket. I watch it at least one time a week, and she's going into eighth grade.
That's a great story.
Thank you.
That's a great gesture.
That is
very thoughtful, and I hope Adrian Hauser has 15 more starts in him like that one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Bigs time, 7 a.m. As the Bears make select players available to the media later today, word is Caleb will not be one of them, and some insiders believe Williams won't address reporters until June. Do you understand that decision? If the Bears do keep Caleb from reporters, what are the pros and the cons?
I think it would be a short-sighted decision. This is a story that, to me, cries for context, and only Caleb Williams can provide it. This is a story that has taken on a life of its own. I understand and respect Seth Wickersham, as we have talked about. There's nothing in there that is factually incorrect or hard to believe. But I also don't know what version of the "I am watching film alone," what part of that comment is directly from Caleb Williams. Is it Caleb Williams who told his father, who told Seth Wickersham, and could be something lost in the translation? Only Caleb Williams can clear that up, exactly what he meant and exactly how lonely he was or how neglected he was. Ultimately, as I have said, it doesn't matter to me that much, because everything about what happened or what went wrong last year has been addressed. They fired everybody. They don't have jobs. I'm not interested in Matt Eberflus, so whether or not he was sitting next to Caleb Williams, as we saw at times on Hard Knocks. I'm not interested or even curious whether or not Shane Waldron and Caleb Williams had a good or bad relationship. We know that it deteriorated to the point where he was fired, too, before Matt Eberflus. Everything that was wrong and depicted the dysfunction that we saw in the story, or the story suggested, the book will confirm, has been addressed and taken care of. Ben Johnson, it's a big job, but he was brought here to bring the best out of his quarterback. That involves finding out the best ways for him to watch tape, to work on his footwork, to get along with teammates, to be a leader. So the Bears would be wise into letting Caleb Williams lead. Part of that leadership involves addressing issues head on, not hiding. The more they shield him, the more it looks like he's hiding. Don't let him hide. Put him behind a microphone. The kid knows how to talk.
I'm surprised we haven't heard anything from him yet. I had said that before. I had suggested if he was looking for advice, I would have advised him to do that. Now, here's the question, and maybe Brad could answer it, and I don't want to give Brad a homework assignment, but you guys have been up at Halas Hall as many times as anybody I know over the years. In an OTA setting such as this, this is the second of three OTAs. You know, does the quarterback talk every time at the OTA typically? Is there open locker room at the OTA? It's only select players brought out to the podium. So, I mean, maybe this is just protocol because Caleb did talk at the first OTA. So maybe he wasn't scheduled to talk this time around. This time around, it's, you know, it's DJ Moore's turn, you know, as the offensive, or Cole Kmet's turn as the offensive guy to get out and stand up at the podium and take questions. So maybe that's what it is. But if anything, you can break protocol. It doesn't have to be like a set rule. I'm sure it's not the NFL's rule. Like, okay, your second OTA, so you must choose a second offensive player to speak, and it cannot be the same offensive player that spoke at the first time. If it is, that's another dumb rule, and this is just dumb, and I agree with you, David, 100%. The longer this is not addressed, the more we're going to keep talking about it. We're going to keep speculating. We're going to keep wondering, why aren't you speaking? So put an end to it. Get out there and squash it. You don't want to take questions? Come out, squash it, and take a walk. You know, go Bears and give the little bear claw and walk off the podium. Give a statement and walk away.
Yeah, it's fun to hear Dustin Rhodes running interference for the PR department.
What?
You're trying to make up excuses as well, why asking, the guy shouldn't speak.
I'm asking if that's how it works.
There's a story. It's out there. Get it over with. End it.
I agree 100%.
Don't leave it sitting out there. Have the guy, you know, pop his head in the media room. Hey, just want to tell you, I don't know what's in the book, but it's a non-story. I love it here. I'm glad I'm here. The rest of it is all nonsense. That's all you do.
Or text Biggs.
You know, just the guy's everywhere.
Text Biggs.
Text somebody.
I think we're going to wait and see. This is a huge year for Caleb Williams. This is a really big season for him because you did go out and you did change everything and you brought in a coach who I would imagine does not care about last year, doesn't care about anything other than what's best for his team this year. And every player has been told that, and every player better sit up and take notice of that. Because, you know, this is, you know, whether you are, they don't have a ton of guys making big money that can control everything and don't need to, but you better get on board with the program no matter who you are. Because that's what it's all about when you get new coaches and new bosses and people take over. We've all been through it. So you got to, whether it's fair or not, or whether you've done enough in your life or not, you got to prove yourself to new people all over again. And that's part of the battle. That's part of the fun thing about change. It's part of the stuff that should juice you up and get you ready for another year. So I don't care who you are. Get on board with the new program, and I think that the new coach is going to handle things differently than previous people here. So I expect there to be a lot of different things going on with the Bears moving forward, and I'm not a prisoner to the past, let's put it that way.
Or of the moment.
Let's go right now.
You want to do your second question, too? You want me to go first?
Do you like that the NFL owners voted 32-0 to have professional football players sell the sport in the Olympics by playing flag football? Is this a money grab, an effort to sell the sport to a different audience? Is the NFL gold? Which countries finish silver and then bronze?
Yeah, the NFL's got to be gold. You don't do something like this to win a bronze, for God's sake, or a silver. You're not going to be the second loser or the actual loser with the bronze. Are you kidding me? The NFL is gold. I was amused by all this stuff yesterday. This is totally a money grab. The NFL loves the idea of getting their guys out in front of the paying public and try to create some interest in their game. I don't know how flag football does that. I don't really care, to be honest with you. I'm all for it. Let's get our gold tally up. It's very important. USA, USA. But I think it's cool that there were players out there that will get their, you know, they're calling it the Steph Curry moment, where you come in and knock down all the threes and you get the glory of being the best. So yeah, get a gold medal. That's totally cool. I would if I were a player, I would want a part of it. I think it'd be fun if I were a skill position guy. But we've already seen people not interested because it's too close to the season. You know, if they cared, 32-0, the NFL. You know how it's a money grab? Because the only thing they all agree on is that they all are greedy. That would be it. There is not a single owner that is going against the program. Okay, well, then it's all about money.
Well, we probably don't have the time right now, but I'd like to know, like, how are they making money off of it? Like,
they are expanding the global viewpoint of their players. They've got great
marketing,
but it's here, growing the game.
It's all over the world. People watch the Olympics. Billions
Olympics
of
are
people.
An international sport.
Thank you. Thanks for event. That. I didn't know that before I turned on my microphone. How are they protecting the players, though? Like, what are the insurances from an insurance policy standpoint? I mean, when they did flag football and like beach football down at the Pro Bowl, I can't remember the running back's name off the top of my head. I think he was a Miami Dolphin. You know, tore apart his knee.
Robert Edwards was never
the same again. Yeah, you know, like, I'm just saying, like, how is Justin Jefferson, who is all in on this? And I'm all for representing your country and waving the flag. I love that guys want to do it. I'm just wondering about protections and how that part of it works. Now, from growing the game, flag football is super up and coming. I know a lot of parents don't want their kids to play tackle football at first, so they play like 7-on-7 flag football stuff. Girls flag football is becoming a thing, and it's becoming a high school sport, and it's becoming a college sport. Girls are getting full rides to colleges to play flag football.
That's great.
So something like this
will definitely
help bring awareness to it. I'm just curious about how do you protect these star NFL players from injury and all of that.
All right. I love America, but I hate this idea. This is not a Steph Curry moment waiting to happen. This is not football. This is flag football. This is gimmicky. The girls can have flag football. They can have it in college, and that's terrific because that's a new thing. That's a new initiative. But the difference between flag football at the Olympics and basketball at the Olympics is basketball is the same basketball you see in the NBA and you see in college. Flag football is nothing like we've ever seen. Justin Jefferson running routes in 7-on-7? Come on. I think that all these owners are afraid of being outed as unpatriotic if they vote against it. They're 32 billionaires saying, I love America. I can't vote against the Olympics. You tell me, if you have an investment and you've got $100 million invested in Justin Jefferson, you want him running around L.A. in July? Risking a pulled hamstring or a blown knee or anything like that? This is a terrible idea for the NFL. It's going to take one injury, one Robert Edwards moment on the beach playing volleyball, blowing out a knee for everyone to realize how bad of an idea this is for the NFL. They can grow the game other ways. They're in every country. How many games are they playing abroad? I don't understand why people are so enthusiastic about something that is so inherently dangerous for the NFL, which we all agree we're addicted to. We love the league. But this is a threat to all of the best players in the league because they're out playing a gimmick.
It's a different sport.
And
the concern with injury would be that there are like sprinting injuries. There are a lot of soft tissue injuries that are more likely because you don't do that often in football, right? You have to run, but you run with equipment on and stuff. I mean, look, the argument would be they're not hitting. So they're not going to be the kind of injuries that, you know, the catastrophic injuries, because the violence of the sport is gone. In basketball, there is violence. There is a lot of physical play.
But you're prepared. But you've done that hundreds of times. It's muscle memory.
But I'm saying that these guys, it's more like you're worried about leg pulls and muscle fatigue.
Would you want Caleb Williams coming off a Super Bowl appearance or NFC Championship game to be playing in the 2028 Olympics?
Is he the most accurate passer you could have?
Yes.
Then let's go. Let's get the gold medal.
Okay. Wow. If I'm a Bears fan, I don't want to see him until training camp. And I don't want him to miss any training camp for the Olympics.
He's got a sore arm. He threw too many passes.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What did you make of Matas Buzelis making the all-rookie NBA second team with an average of 8.6 points, nearly a block a game? He was significantly better in the second half and probably has a case at a first-teamer. Is he the cornerstone of this group?
He's a cornerstone. He's got to be. The Bulls don't have a lot of other building blocks. Congratulations to Matas Buzelis, second team All-NBA. I think his first half started too slowly for him to justify being on the first team. He did finish with the arrow pointing up. It was a productive, solid rookie season. I don't know if he exceeded expectations, but I think he met them. I hope they get another guy drafting 12th that can make the all-rookie team next year.
I want to be somewhat respectful and not do the golf clap. He was drafted 11th. He better make one of the two teams. I mean, come on. You're a top 11 pick.
Hey,
congratulations.
Their team changed dramatically when they finally made that trade, okay? So he didn't fit in. He didn't get enough playing time. He also couldn't play defense well enough to earn his spot. So, you know, you want to blame someone, maybe Billy, if you had just played the kid before he was ready defensively. He wouldn't be as developed as he is right now in his career, but he probably have been doing better in terms of the all-rookie.
Better numbers.
Better numbers all the way around. But I like the way they handled him. This is player development. We saw him, as you say, he didn't start fast. They had other players on the team. And then when his opportunity came, he grew and grew as the year was ending. Yes, he's a cornerstone piece. And I think part of the reason is because they worked with him on the things you got to do to play in the NBA, and now he's got a much better idea of it than he would have had he not gone through what he went through in terms of just having to earn it as a rookie. So I think they've done well with him. He's a very young guy, and I think he's a cornerstone for this team for sure.
For this team, yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.